Gosh, man.
I love you too, man.
No, man, dude, guys, it is awesome to be back. I love it. Dude, real quick, how you guys doing, man? You guys feeling pretty good today?
No.
Yeah. No, it sucks.
Spring break.
No, I'm going back to school tomorrow, man, so my spring break's over. Womp womp. But yeah, man, dude, so if I haven't got a chance to meet you guys yet, my name is Robbie. I used to be one of the Learys here at High Point. Now I am living in the great northern, almost Canada, Bellingham. Yo, do we got any prospective Western Washington homies in the crowd? Okay, that was pretty weak. We got like,
yeah, maybe.
Like, I feel like Western, like, you're kind of like ashamed. You don't want to admit you're going there. Like,
yeah, I'm going to Western.
But, yeah, so I'm a student at Western. If you haven't been to Bellingham, dude, that is an experience. Like, it is the weirdest place in the world, but it's funny. Like, did you guys hear about that riot up in Bellingham that happened a few months ago? So there was a riot that happened, and I don't even think the guys that were rioting knew why they were rioting. They just did it. And that's kind of what Bellingham, like, there was a picture of a guy with a stop sign just, yeah! And he's like, dude, you're going to be on the front page news. Everyone's going to know it's you. You didn't think that through. So, like, my guess, someone said Death Cab for Cutie wasn't that good of a band, and they flipped out. Or they said V-necks weren't that cool, and so then someone got mad, like, hey, we should riot. Yeah, let's do it. So I'm living up north. It's a great place. And I'm interning at a church up there. Definitely also an interesting experience. I had a kid tell me, hey, Robbie, dude, like, I was giving a ride home once. He's like, you know, my grandma has this same car. It's like, you know what? I bet she does, buddy. I bet she. I drive a Grand Marquis. So, like, if you saw me pulling in the morning, like, whose grandma's coming to church? It was me. So y'all better watch who you're talking to. But yeah, man, so over the past few weeks, you guys have been going over this series called Change Your World, which is awesome. Like, I think that's really cool. I think it's really important that we talk about that. Man, I'm, like, spinning all over the place. I'm going to try to control that. I think it's important because, if you think about it, guys, we are that generation that is going to be changing the world. You know, we're the future leaders. We're the people that are going to be making the most impact in our near future. And so I think it's important that we talk about how do we change our world. What does that mean? Like, and last week, Brian Zegert came, and he talked about defining your burden. Like, what is it that makes you upset? Like, when you see it, what is it that pretty much just pisses you off? You're like, man, that's not cool. Like, I should do something about that. And so today, I'm going to talk to you guys about taking action. I'm going to talk to you about how do you get that burden and then say, you know, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to finish strong in that. I'm going to do something and make a difference for this. But before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and pray over this morning, and then we'll go ahead and get started. So, Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here. God, thank you for letting my derpy little self get up here and be able to speak your truth on this, God. And I pray that you be the one that's speaking this morning, God, not me. And I pray that anything that comes from me, God, that's not what is taken away, but God, that your truth and what you want to say is what gets left with today. And so, God, I pray that in your holy and precious name. Amen. So, a couple summers ago, I was just hanging out at my house, hanging out down here, and then my boy, Jordan Merck, a.k.a. Jay Murky, a.k.a. Jay Money, hits me up. It's like, hey, dude, what are you doing today? I'm like, well, I'm in my underwear. I'm watching Netflix, so I'm pretty busy. What's up? And he's like, hey, you want to go on a hike around Mount Rainier? I was like, you know, I walked in the mailbox yesterday. I should be good. I can do that. And so I put on some pants, put on some shoes. And I was like, you know, I might be being active. I threw on a V-neck and I threw on a baseball cap. I was like, okay, let's go hiking. I show up, and everybody there is, like, looking like they're getting ready for, like, the Iron Man competition. They got, like, shorts. Not really. They just look like they're active. And then I look like, well, this. And they show up, like, they got basketball shorts. I mean, like, bro tanks, like, running shoes. And then I show up, and they're literally like, dude, what are you wearing? Like, you really, like, is that going to work? I'm like,
you said hiking, so I just wore clothes. Well, I don't know.
And so we get in the car. We drive up there. And we get to this Comet Falls trail. Have anyone ever been to Comet Falls? Yeah, so, for you guys, like, did you guys think that was a tough trail? Did you think it was, like, pretty? Michael did? I feel you, buddy. I almost died. Guys, that was a near-death experience. Dude, no, I straight up at one point just sat down. I'm like, I'm done. Can't do this. And so I'm going up there. And it was to the point, I think McKee was there. And he stopped, looked back at me and goes, dude, are you okay? I'm actually worried that you're going to die. Like, I don't know if you're going to make it up this. And I couldn't get any words out. I'm just, like giving like hand signals because I can't actually get words out. And eventually, I get up to the top, and I think you have a picture of what Comet Falls looks like. Yeah. Yeah, see, okay, that's what I was wearing. Look at everyone else, like shorts, fitness gear, jeans, a t-shirt, and some Slayer horns, just to make you think I was actually doing work, which I wasn't. But the thing is, man, like, I wouldn't have, like, look how pretty that waterfall is, man. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen, next to, like, $5 pizzas at Little Caesars. But I was like, man, that was so cool. I'm glad I got to see that. Because I wanted to give up. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I was climbing up that hill, I wanted to just, like, you know what, this sucks. This hurts. I just want to sleep. I want to sit down. And had I, like, done that, like, had I not finished strong, man, I wouldn't have been able to see that. And to be honest, guys, I think that sometimes, like, and those, like I said, like Brian was talking about last week, those burns we put on our heart. Sometimes when we don't finish strong in those, when, like, God gives us those burns and we don't take action on it, or we don't finish strong with that action, we can miss out on something really cool that God wanted to show us. Because, see, guys, God wants us to finish strong with all of our actions. And if you think about it, it's really easy not to finish strong, right? I mean, like, we see something, like, some kind of injustice on TV, or we hear about something, and we're like, dude, we need to do something. Or, you know, you want to take action, but then either we or someone else tells us, man, you can't do it. Like, how many of you guys have ever seen those Sarah McLachlan, like, hurt puppy commercials? Dude, those are horrible. Like, and they're always on when you least expect it. Like, 2 a.m, all of a sudden you hear, in the arms of an angel. And you're like, no, not now. And, like, you turn around, there's, like, a one-eyed puppy and, like, a kitten with, like, a pencil in his head. You're like, no, not the kitten. Why? And, like, and so your thing is, like, dude, no. Like, no puppy should ever have one eyes. No kitten should have pencils in their head. Why, Sarah McLachlan? Why? And then, man, if you guys ever see a kitten with a pencil in his head, call somebody. Like, that's messed up. But we get told, man, like we want to do something about that. We want to, like, dude, I don't want kittens to have pencils in their heads. That's messed up. And so, like, we want to do something about it. But then other people tell us, dude, that's not realistic. Like, you can't actually do anything about that. Like, you're young. What are you going to do? Or they'll be like, hey, you don't have enough money. And even for us, we tell ourselves, dude, like, what if someone makes fun of us? Like, I really want to tell my friend about Jesus at school, but, like, I'm scared someone's going to make fun of me. Like, let's be real. Like, it's in one of my classes, and it's a good friend of mine. I don't want to lose that friend. Or maybe it's something like, you want to go over to that. You want to help out with human trafficking. You want to do something about that. Or maybe you want to make a difference for all the hungry kids in Africa. But you're like, dude, that's dangerous. Like, what if I get hurt? What if something happens? And pretty soon, man, when we start telling ourselves that we can't do it, like, no, I can't do that, man, we actually believe it. We start saying, yeah, you know, you're right, man, I can't do it. I'm just a kid. Or, hey, I'm kind of broke. I don't know if I can really do anything. Or we say, someone else can do it, right? Like, Bill Gates, he's got a lot of money. He can do something about it. But the cool thing is, guys, the really cool thing, I love this, when we do take action, though, when we do just, when something does make us upset and bothers us in our heart, and we're like, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. When we do that, dude, God just surprised you, man. Like, things will happen that you didn't even think were possible. And if you guys don't believe me, man, you're sitting in a room where that actually happened. 4 or 5 years ago, believe it or not, I was in your guys' seat. I was a senior in high school. I know I look kind of old, but it's okay. I was here at one point. And I remember our youth group wasn't a really cool, like, wasn't a real vibe in place. Like, you walked in, you didn't really feel, like, that love and vibe. And then, one, you know, I was a senior, I was getting ready to graduate. And then this pretty cool guy came in. You might know him. His name's Gary Hale. He showed up. He sat all of us down, you know, those steps out in front of out in front of the building you're in right now. He sat us down in there. And he says, guys, I want to make this a place that you feel comfortable. I want to make this a place where you feel comfortable bringing your friends, where you feel like you're loved and you're welcome when you walk in. And I was like, dude, this is cool. I get on board with this. And over the years, like, Gary, you know, like, he started being relational with people. He started loving on you guys. He brought other cool leaders in, like David Day, what up, my home dog. Brought him in. I mean, and then over the years, more leaders started getting on board with that. And if you think about it, man, like, that place, because Gary and the other leaders decided to finish strong and decided to take action on something that was bothering them, this place went from 40 kids to about 140 kids in 4 years. So I know I'm not a big math guy, but I'm going to just break some numbers down for you. That's a lot. Man, that doesn't happen. Like, ask any youth pastor. Those numbers don't happen. It's not a real common thing, a number that people just show up and start multiplying like that. But it happened because you guys, Gary related to you guys, David related to you guys, and then you guys started saying, you know what, I want to do something too. I want to talk to my friends. But think about if that didn't happen. Like, imagine this. So, like, we're sitting on the steps, and Gary walks in and goes, okay, guys, here's the deal. I don't care about none of y'all. I do like Capri Suns, though. So this is what's going to happen. I'm the youth pastor. I'm going to show up. I'm going to drink Capri Suns. I'm going to sit in my office. On Sundays, we're just going to wing it. We're just going to see what happens. There would be no one here. It would be Gary sipping Capri Suns. Where'd everybody go? I mean, like, not, so nothing, like, it. But because he said, yeah, I'm going to step up and do this, cool things happen. And so when we do finish strong, man, God's going to do crazy cool stuff. And you guys are, and this is evidence of that. So, and we're going to take another example of what it looks like when someone finishes strong, but we're going to go OT. This guy's an OG, man, original gangster. His name's Nehemiah. You guys have been talking about this guy for the past few weeks. But if you haven't been here, like this is the first time you've been here in a while, you're like, I don't know who Nehemiah is. I'm going to break it. I'm going to hit you with a little bit of knowledge. So Nehemiah, this guy came from Jerusalem, so he was Jewish. And his family, so his heritage, what happened was, there were these guys called the Persians, and they pretty much, about 100, 150 years before Nehemiah was around, they walked into Jerusalem and says, okay, here's the deal. Y'all got to go. They kicked them out, made them go live in Babylon, and then wrecked the place. Destroyed their walls, destroyed their buildings. Pretty much everything they called, like, dear was rubble. Like, imagine someone coming into Puyallup and saying, hey, listen, guys, I know you like this place, but you got to go. And they come in, they destroy all the Red Robins, they destroy Bob's Burgers, they destroy your homes, like, everything. Everything's just piles of bricks. Yeah, dude, why would anyone destroy Red Robin? That's messed up. My voice just squeaked. I guarantee I'm not 13. But, I know, I'm just a big kid. But then after about 70 years of the Jews being outside of their home, the Babylonians say, okay, man, you know what? You can go back home. You can go live back in your, you know, in your hometown, and it's cool. Problem is, it wasn't cool because they had nothing left. And so they lived there for a lot of years, man, just kind of hanging out in their homes, and then hanging out what used to be their homes. And then one day, this guy Nehemiah, who he was serving for the king that kicked, well, one of the kings that kicked everybody out. And he was a cupbearer, so I meant he was the guy that man got had to eat the food with, like when the king got something, he had to make sure it wasn't poison. So the king trusted this guy, and he decides one day that he gets a burn on his heart from God to say, you know what, go back and rebuild Jerusalem, go back and rebuild the walls, rebuild the home, make the place that you knew it and that your family knew it to be. And so chapter 6, man, that's what we're gonna pick up, and this is about where Nehemiah goes and he rebuilds the wall and he rebuilds Jerusalem. And so the thing is, like, one thing we can learn about from Nehemiah is that your enemy is going to try to mess with you. You know, he's going to try to troll on you. He's going to try to throw you off your game. And it says in 6:1-3, now when Sambalat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab, these guys were just FYI, they're governors of, like, Persia, Babylon, like, those guys, they're the governors. And the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it. Although up to that time, I had not set up the doors and the gates. Sambalat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come and let us meet together at Hakam from something in the plain of Ono. Ono! Wilson, no! But they, man, I'm a dork. But they intended to do me harm. And I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop? Why leave it and come down to you? Man, one reason why I like Nehemiah is Home Dog is smart. Like, he does. I don't believe that you're really just trying to, like, hang out with me. Like, I think something's up there. Like, how many, like, I'm not going to pull anyone out. I for sure would have, someone's like, hey, when I talk to you, I'm like, okay, just walked out and dead. Like, and that's what these guys were trying to do. They're trying to kill Nehemiah. About a year ago, so like I said, I interned up north, and me and a group of friends that interned with me, we were at the church late, and I was there, and they left like a little bit earlier than me. And I walk out at 9 p.m., walk out to my car, I'm thinking, hey, you know, what am I going to do? Yeah, I'm going to go home, eat dinner. Yeah, dinner sounds good. Maybe do some homework. Nah, don't do homework. That's no good. And then I get around my car. I'm like, whoa, there's a boulder on my car. And if you guys don't believe me, we have a picture to prove it. Yeah, that's what I said. So I turn around, and my first reaction is, how did a bunch of hipsters get a boulder on my car? I've seen hipsters carry two things. A mason jar full of coffee and a vinyl record that you probably never heard of. And I look at the car, I'm like, dude, how? Why? And then my second question kicks off, like, crap, how am I going to get home? I had big plans. I was gonna watch Dexter, and then I was gonna eat. And then I was gonna eat like some microwave pizza. Like my night was packed. And then logic took over me, and I'm like, you know, boulders probably aren't really in a church parking lot. My car probably wouldn't be there if a boulder was on it. And so lo and behold, it was made of styrofoam, and I could still drive. But props to my friends, man. Like, tell me that's not impressive, like. How many of you guys would have freaked out if you walked out of the parking lot? You see a boulder on your car. Yeah, exactly. So, also, that's the grandma car I was telling you guys about. Like, it's pretty grandma / cop-esque, so I'm impressed. But just like my friends do, the enemy's going to try tricking and taking your mind off your burden and finishing strong. Like, I was telling you guys, my mind was not about my car. Like, when I was walking out there, I'm thinking about dinner, I'm thinking about homework, thinking about what I'm going to do when I get home. And then, oh my gosh, there's a boulder. And the enemy is kind of the same way. He wants you to be like, okay, man, I want to help out with human trafficking. I want to stop this. I want to do something. Oh, my gosh, I don't have enough money. I want to go help out in Africa. I want to do something there. Oh, my gosh, it could be dangerous. I want to go tell my friends about Jesus. I want to go reach out to my friend who's in pain right now. I want to go do something about this. Oh, my gosh, what if I get rejected? Oh, my gosh, what if they make fun of me? You know, we start thinking things like that. And I think the second thing that we can learn from Nehemiah is that your enemy is going to try to intimidate you and discourage you. Now, see, like, after Nehemiah shut down those dudes that were kind of telling him, like, hey, man, come hang out with me, come do this. They then tried to threaten him by saying he wanted to be the king of Jerusalem. You know, they sent him a message saying, hey, dude, so here's the deal. We kind of know, like, that, like, we think you're trying to be the king of these people. We think you're trying to be the next dude, like, the next big shot. And we're going to tell the king of Babylon that, and he ain't gonna like that. And, you know, usually, like, if someone tells you that, you're like, okay, fine, like, because, you know, that guy's probably got a lot more people than Nehemiah did. He's probably got a lot more manpower and, like, a lot more weapons and can probably do a lot more damage. So I think it's safe to say a lot of us would be scared. We'd be a little bit nervous at that point. But this is when I learned Nehemiah, dude, that guy's a baller. Because he just tells you, not true, and I'm not gonna, and you know what, go ahead, tell him. I don't care. You know, hashtag can't stop, won't stop. Like, I'm going to keep building this thing. Yeah, I know, I did the hashtag, I heard someone go, oh, gosh. I know, man, it happened. And so, in verse 9, it says, for they all wanted, they all wanted us to be frightened, thinking their hands will drop from the work, and it will not be done. But now, oh, God, strengthen my hands. Yeah, see, like, he understood, like, you guys are trying to scare me, man. Like, I'm not going to fall for it. Like, you guys can't scare me. They're like, God put me in this place to do this, so you can't tell me what to do. And it's cool because, like, that's some pretty, like, that's awesome, man. Like, I don't know if I could do that. Like, that is intense. That's awesome. And I look at this, and I was like, how many of you guys have ever been to a haunted house, just out of curiosity? Okay. When you walk into those things, man, it's terrifying, right? Well, some of them. Like, you're in the line, and, like, right off the bat, they're trying to freak you out. You got people walking up and down the line, like, there's always that one guy that's, like, eyeballing you as you're waiting in line, and you're nervous because you're not sure if he actually even works there. And so you're like, I don't know about you. I don't trust you. And then you hear, like, screams from inside the haunted house. Ah! You're like, oh, no. Like, well, what's going to happen? What's behind that door? I don't know. And this past Halloween, man, I decided to take some students from up north, and we decided to go to a haunted house out in Ferndale, which is, like, the Eatonville of almost Canada. And so we're out there, I'm like, dude, we're in kind of farming area, like, who knows, like, I don't know what these guys are capable of. I'm sitting there in the line of this haunted house, and I walk in, like, I intentionally tried to look tough for this. Like, I wore, like, my flannel, my beanie, I had to make sure my beard was nice and growing out. I'm walking in like this, like, yeah, do something, dare you. Man, that place scared the crap out of me. Like, and there was actually one point, like, I felt pretty good most of it. Like, I jumped, like, whoa, hey, that was scary, man. And then I got to the end, I see the exit, I'm like, okay, cool. I survived. I got there. We're good. Nope. Four people, and keep in mind, this is run by high schoolers. Four kids run at me at the end, and I screamed. Like, not like next level stuff. Like, 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 I would even say, like, Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, like, octaves. And then I also said some things I probably shouldn't, like, repeat here. And one of my students walked up to me and goes, I heard that. I was like, I know you heard that. Everyone, their mom heard me say that. Don't tell your parents. So the thing is, man, like, just like the haunted house, man, the whole point of the enemy is to try to freak you out. He's trying to scare you out of having that burden. He's trying to scare you out of taking action, because as long as that stays up here, or as long as it stays in here, they're good. Things good with that. You can roll with that. It's like, hey, you can have all the nice little believies, you can have all the nice little thoughts you want. As long as you don't act on it, we're cool. We're good. It's when we act on it that he doesn't like, and that's why he wants to scare you out of it, man. He wants to scare you out of taking action. But here's the cool thing, man. Here's the really, really awesome thing. When we do finish strong, when we do take action on that burden, the enemy backs down. Almost every time the enemy's going to back down. You know, at this point, building the wall, so Nehemiah has been threatened by these guys. And actually, some of Nehemiah's own people were telling him, dude, you need to hide. What are you doing? Like, don't, like, hide in like a, like, you know, just stay out of plain sight because they're trying to kill you. Nehemiah's just like, whatever. Don't care. And he pretty much comes to the conclusion, like, listen, I'm going to rebuild this wall. God put this in place for me to rebuild this. I'm going to make that happen. And he does it. And in verse 15 through 16, it says this. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. For they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of God. Dude, that's awesome, man. He finished strongly. It's like, you look at this, these enemies, man, they talk a mean game. You know, they're like, yo, dude, we're going to do all this. We're gonna kill you. We're going to break down your wall. They build a wall. Yo, I didn't mean that. He said it, not me. You know, and they back off, man. Like, they, you know, in the words of MC Hammer, they can't touch this. And to me, that's awesome. That's a relief. That's a relief to know that, dude, if we finish strong, if we take action on those things, that enemy's going to back down. How many of you go to Emerald Ridge or Rogers? Probably almost a lot of you, right? You see, there you go, man. So you guys might know about the King of the Hill game, right? So you know that with those games, only one can win. And usually, over the past 6 years, it's been Rogers. What up? 6-0. Can't stop that blue train. That's what I'm talking about. Michael's going to beat me up after service. It's okay. You get your A for effort, money. It's cool. Don't worry about it. But usually, only one can come on top, right? Only one. Like, when you walk on that field, you're not saying, hey, man, I hope we both win today. No. You're like, I'm going to beat you. And then I'm going to make fun of you for the rest of the year, right? Like, I'll teach you how it works, those rivalries. And so it's like, when you walk onto that field, you know there's only going to be one winner. That's kind of the attitude that we're supposed to have, man. Like, when we're taking on that action, we're taking on that burden, we're trying to finish strong, we know, okay, man, it's me or the enemy. One of us is going to come out on top. And it's cool because God promises us, like, dude, if you finish strong and if you trust in me when you take action, you'll come out on top. Because, guys, when we do finish strong, God will do amazing things. He'll surprise you every time, I guarantee it. And maybe for some of us in here, dude, maybe we're right in the middle of acting on that burden. Like, maybe some of you guys are Nehemiah. That's awesome. Like, some of you guys right now are going down to California here in a few months. You're starting up a church. And that is awesome. I'm stoked for you guys. And I want to just encourage you guys, man, like, that when the going gets tough, that you just keep finishing strong. You keep trusting that burden that God put on your heart, and you keep taking action. Maybe some of you are active in talking to your friends about Jesus. You're active in bringing your friends to church. You're active in just loving on other people. And that's huge. That's awesome. And I want to encourage you guys to keep doing that. And some of you guys are really active about, you know, like, things like human trafficking. Some of you guys are really active about, like, starvation in Africa and clean water and things like that. And if that's you, man, I want to encourage you to keep pursuing that and keep finishing strong. But maybe some of you are like, dude, Rob, I don't know what you're talking about, man. Like, I haven't heard from God in years. You know, I want a burden. I want God to put something on my heart. Haven't heard from him. Or maybe some of you don't even believe that God wants anything to do with you. You're like, man, Rob, if you only knew me. Like, I've never even seen you before. But I guarantee you, you don't know anything about me. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. And regardless of where you're at, man, if that's you, I want to encourage you, for one, I want you to just stop and listen. Have a DTR with God. Say, God, here's the deal. I want to have a burden. I want to do something big. And I want to encourage, you know, and if that's you, man, I want to encourage you to have that conversation with God. And you know, I want to say that when you have that conversation, it may not be right away. God may not put that burden on your heart right away, but I guarantee you, if you have that conversation, God will do that. He will put something on your heart that makes you upset. Maybe it's with kids with pencils in their heads. Maybe it's not. I don't know. But he'll make your heart burn for something. And if you think that this whole God thing, you're like, dude, I just can't get on board with it. Like, I can't get on board with the fact that a God so huge and so awesome would want anything to do with me, would want me to do anything cool. Dude, I want to encourage you, man, just explore it. Figure out who God is. Read about him. Ask him. Just straight up have that conversation with him. Like, God, I want to know who you are. I want to know if you're the real deal. And have that conversation with him. Because, guys, the thing is, you know, for those of you who don't know me, man, if you would have asked me 4 years ago that I'd be up here talking to you guys, that I'd be up here hanging out with high schoolers and talking about Jesus, I would have told you, man, you dumb stupid. Like, there's no way. I was scared of high schoolers. I'm like, dude, they make fun of you for the thing you don't like about you. And I don't like that. That scares me. Like, I had these horror stories and these images of what that looked like. And I'm here now. I'm up here talking to you guys. God surprised the crap out of me. Like, I would have never expected this. And so I want to encourage you, man, like, you ask God to surprise you, if you ask God to do something cool in your life, he'll do it. And so I'm going to wrap up here with this, guys. If you guys were on the Vancouver mission trip in 2012, you probably remember this. At the end of every trip, man, we'd be out, we'd be doing stuff in the community, we'd be out being active and like, just learning about, like, what's happening in Vancouver. And you see some heartbreaking stuff, man. You see some really unjust things happening. And at the end of the night, we read this Franciscan benediction to each other. And it goes a little something like this. May God bless us with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that we may live deep from within our hearts. May God bless us with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of God's creations, so that we may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless us with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that we may reach out our hands to comfort them and to turn their pain into joy. And may God bless us with just enough foolishness to believe that we can make a difference in the world, so we can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and all our neighbors who are poor. High Point, I want to challenge us, man. Let's be a generation that is just foolish enough to believe that we can actually change the world. Let's be foolish enough to believe that when we act, when something bothers us, when we know something's not right, that we're going to act on it and finish strong, trusting that God's going to do something awesome. High Point, I want to challenge us to trust that God is going to change the world through us. Let's pray. Dear God, I'm sorry. Please don't kill me. All aboard the Derp Express. Dear God, thank you, God, just for being you, man. And thank you that you want to work through us, God, and you want to do something great, and you want to change the world in us. And regardless of who you are, God, regardless of who we are, that you want to do something really awesome. And I pray that, God, that we trust in you in that, and that we can lean into you and watch the world change around us, God. In your name, amen. All right, so I think, Kyle, you're going to come up and pray over the offering.